And it can be rapid fire quick, or it can be slow and thoughtful, but that you really feel, hey, something new that I've never thought of before is coming out of this. And that is the magic with any solution-focused conversation every time.
Hello and welcome to the Towards Solution podcast, where creativity meets practical application. I'm Dion Singh.
And I'm Jason Pascoe. Together, we dive deep into the world of solution focus, exploring its transformative power across a variety of contexts.
Come join us each month as we engage in enlightening conversations with experts and practitioners who are applying solution focus in their unique environments. Whether you're looking to enhance your personal life, professional practice, or community projects, our discussions will provide you with valuable insights and actionable ideas.
Tune in to discover how you can implement solution-focused practices in your own context, unlocking new possibilities and creative solutions. Let's embark on this journey of exploration and innovation together. If you like this podcast, leave us a review and subscribe now so you don't miss an episode of Towards Solutions.
Pat, thanks so much for joining us. And so by way of introduction, we had a chat with Chris Iverson probably a month back, and so we said, you know, who should we talk to next? So we're just, you know, we're on this fun journey of getting to know people and having conversations with people.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I mean, it's wonderful. And to be recommended by Chris is something like, whoa, because he's one of my absolute heroes in the field. And such an amazing person to listen to anything he says. And so, yeah. So thank you very much for the invite. And we'll see where this takes us.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see what emerges. Pal, I was doing a little bit of reading. You probably see that I've been on your LinkedIn bio and things like that. Now, you said something that really links with our first question. We've kind of got three or four questions that we ask everyone. We're not sure what order they'll come out in, but we try and keep at least these questions consistent. You mentioned your lovely granddaughter. And then you said, SF is my second love. What do you love about solutions focused?
Where did I write this? I need to look it up. So your question again is?
What do you love about solution focused?
What do I love about solution focused? Oh, yeah, I did hear you ask that question to your other guests. And it's a tough one because it's so all-encompassing. But what always stands out for me is the non-judgmental aspect of it. That it is a way of engaging with people that is, again, non-judgmental. You don't have any preconceived ideas about what is right and what is wrong. You just open to whatever comes and whatever people bring to the table, and be surprised all the time. And it works both ways. In a good solution focused conversation, you can both be surprised by the things you hear the other person say, or even hear yourself say. Because that whole stance for me opens up a free flowing arena, as it were, when new things emerge. It's like when I was thinking before we came on about how it can be with a great conversation over drinks or at a dinner or a party or whatever that sometimes you have, and you just bounce off each other, and it can be rapid fire quick, or it can be slow and thoughtful, but that you really feel, hey, something new that I've never thought of before is coming out of this. And that is the magic with any solution-focused conversation every time. Yeah, that's what I love about it. Be surprised.
That's wonderful. Because I was reading that you were a physiotherapist and you went into management, and then you thought, I love this stuff. Yeah. I'm going to try it out. And you went into your own consultancy. You shortened waiting times. Customer satisfaction went up. Professionals were engaged and happy with it. And you could see a huge possibility in the fields of health and welfare and make a big difference.
I came across solution focus in a very unexpected way. And to this day, I can remember the date, the time, the place, who I sat next to, where I sat in the audience, because it was one of those moments that you think this is life changing. I was a manager in what I would call a kind of specialized social work organization at the time, regional manager. We were given the task by the government to transform our practice, working with people with all kinds of disabilities, as we called it at the time, to stop saying, okay, come here, we will take care of you, to, hey, let us try and support you lead your own life and get by in society, which was. It's not an amazing way of thinking, but nobody had a clue actually how to do it. Because I feel that a lot of things going on in the social work arena and surrounding fields actually come from the medical model, which I was trained in, of course. Like, okay, we need a diagnosis, we need a history, and then we know what to do. And we've applied that to all kind of social contexts. So this was a brilliant way of thinking, but we did not know how. So my team and I had been exploring this for a couple of years at the time, and we did some good stuff. And then this one day, one of my team members said, "Hey, there's a lecture tomorrow by a lady from the UK, and she's coming to talk about an approach that they're using, and it might be of interest to us." Okay, can I just come? I said, yeah, because the person who's organizing this wants as many people to know about this as possible because he's very enthusiastic. He was the new physician attached to the Child Protection Agency. He was a young pediatrician at the time and moved to that part of the country, got into this job, and thought, what misery. What is this that I'm encountering? Unhappy children, unhappy parents, unhappy workers. But still, it's very important work that we do because it's about children's safety. But there should be different ways. So he went exploring around the world to see, okay, are there any different ways of doing this? He came across something from your brilliant country, signs of safety. I presume well known to you guys,
Andrew
Andrew Turnell and
Turnell,
Steve Edwards' work. Yes. And he had been to a conference and he said, this is what I want to do and I want to establish this. So anyway, he organized this evening. I went along with my co-worker, and that was Vivian Hogg from Gateshead in the north of England. And she started talking about what they had developed was they called it the Science of Well-being model. And it came directly from Science and Safety, but she and John Wheeler had adapted it to a more broad context. So not just safety aspects, but any, if you will, social work element. So they simplified the reporting form, and she had made a wonderful exercise where she would ask us, the audience, to think of a person that we were a little bit worried about. Nothing life-threatening, could be a neighbor, could be whatever, something you were a little bit worried about. And she would ask us questions. And she put them in a three-column form with, in the middle, what's working well, on the left, what are your worries, and on the right, what needs to be done. And she would put them on the screen and have us think about these questions for themselves and take notes. And that's where the magic happened. Because I remember what I chose. It was about one of my cousins whose parents were going through a divorce, and I was a little bit worried about this young boy that who seemed to be struggling a bit. And so I answered the question, and at some point she said, "Who is the most important person in this person's life?" And then a light bulb went off, and I said, "His dog." So not even a person, but they had a young puppy at the time. I said, "The dog." And it just dawned on me that his relationship with that dog and how he was caring for it and how he did that with his mother, and that would pull him through. And I was completely reassured. Well, during that time, Several light bulbs went off because I thought, this is what we've been looking for these past 4 years. Because this gives ideas, a thinking, a theory, a history, a way of talking about what it actually is that we do. So, yeah, that's. I fell in love with solution focus right there and then. I did not know it was solution focus. I learned that later on. Because, of course, that's the basis of signs of safety and therefore the basis of signs of well-being. But yeah, that was, yeah, it's been a love affair ever since.
Very cool. Very cool.
And the granddaughter, yeah, you see it in kids, don't you? The way they freshly approach things and give you new outlooks on everything that's going on around you. I love that. They're the best. Yeah.
Fabulous.
That's great.
Yeah.
Tell us about what you, so what do you do now? How do you apply solution focused in, in your context?
In my business, I've been lucky enough to get loads of work doing a training, helping people to develop a solution-focused mindset and applying it. And what I do a lot these days is applying it to the whole organization. Like it's one thing I always say when people ask me to come and talk to them, it's one thing to teach about this to your frontline practitioners, but it'll only be sustainable if I start with you guys, the management team, the people who are, because you need to support them. And if it becomes a culture, in your organization, that's when it starts to be really sustainable. So most of my the things that I do now are about that, and I thoroughly enjoy that because one day I'll be working with a group of coaches of volunteers or something like that, or frontline practitioners, or project managers, or the CEOs of the organization that will that lead the whole process. So it's yeah, throughout the organization, that's what I do mostly. And in that, there can be some individual coaching or some team coaching whenever that's necessary. But I always say I'll do anything as long as I can use SF.
Yeah, I think that was in one of our emails. I remember reading that a lot. I like it. That's great. So in the application across a whole organization, do you have some, some examples or some ideas about how you're doing that?
I think it took me a few years, but these days I'm bold enough to say, okay, I will only do this if I can start with you, the top level management. And there's not a lot of people that say no to that. I think maybe once that they said, no, that's not what we're looking for. And okay, fine. Then we're not a good fit. So that's brilliant. Most other cases, it works that way. So I think that's important. That there's a vibe, okay, that we really want this. That's very helpful. I don't know. It's in. I think your training should be a reflection of what you're actually talking about. So I've learned from people that I've been trained with very well that it needs to be a parallel process in all aspects. So my training reflects what I'm talking about, I hope. I try my very, very best. The way people are in leadership should reflect what they want their practitioners to actually do with clients. So it's that intertwining of things that I find is very, very important. And apart from starting with management, it doesn't really matter. I've discovered what you do next or the intensity. You can start with really small groups that say, hey, this is interesting. Let's go for it. Actually, I like that better than programs where they say, okay, we have 550 staff and we need them all to be trained and we'll assign when and where and when. But that works too. It doesn't really matter. Yeah, just start.
I'm interested in what you're talking about, the parallel process and training with a solution focused approach. What do you, how do you do that?
Ooh. There's so many elements, aren't there? Well, one thing is, I will always write the program because people require that of you, and sometimes there's accreditation schemes that you need to write about that. But I love being very flexible in what I actually do on the day. So my day will usually, training day will usually start with best hopes in any way, shape, or form. I would like to know the best hopes of the people that are there. And just, and that's very, I learned that from Brief a lot, Chris and Harvey and Evan. Just to dive in. If we have two really great days, what are your best hopes for what would you like to come out of that? And have them experience that in various forms. And only after that, kind of hover over it and say, okay, what have we actually been doing here? And talk about that a little bit. So it's a constant of dive deep, experience it yourself, and then having a meta view and talk about what's been happening here and leave it to the people there what they take out of it. I've learned over the years to have no preconceived ideas. Okay, at the end, I want them to be able to do this, that, and the other. And still, accreditation programs will ask of you to write that down, don't they? I don't like it at all because they don't get what this approach is about. But okay, I'll think up something that will be fitting enough so to get the validation points. But to let go of that, I think is very, very important. And again, be surprised what people do with it. Yeah,
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 that's really cool.
yeah.
And it's interesting, like how you experienced solution focus, and so that was kind of your aha moment. And then you mentioned just then about having people in your trainings experience solution focus. What are some of the ways that you do that?
Well, I love going to trainings and workshops and conferences myself and be inspired by the amazing people in this community who come up with a myriad of exercises and ways of doing it. So there's not really one way, I guess. I know that if I come across something new and it appeals to me and think, oh, I could try this out, then I'm happy to try it out the next day with a group. So it's well, a big favorite is always the Bjørn exercise that as we call it. It's from one of Jenny Clark's book, 57 exercise. I can't remember the exact title, the blue one. I'm sure you're aware of it, by Bjørn Johansson. And it's where people go in groups of three and ask each other in a circular way the same question. And in a sense, it is about best hopes and how will you notice the change happening. And there's, I think it's one of the most brilliant exercises because it's in the form, in the construction, but also in the questions that you get so many ways of learning about solution focus. And I'm always amazed about how one person will pick out their own personal goals that I think, oh, I hadn't realized, but this is what I would really like to learn and how I will notice the difference. Another one will take out of it, hey, I could do this with a group because there's magic in listening to somebody else answer the questions and then know that you will be asked that same question after that. And others will come out of it thinking, okay, I would rephrase this because those words don't really fit for me. And then you can have a beautiful conversation about what words would be fitting in your context and with your for you and with your client. So, yeah, I that is an exercise that I could almost spend a whole morning with. Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Sounds
Wonderful.
fun.
My mind's looping back to the pre-workshop, right? Rather than
Okay.
the activities, I'm thinking
Yeah.
now, when you said, you say now I'll do it if I can work with the senior managers as well, to because it makes it more sustainable. What are you, or what are the clues that you're listening for or looking for that tell you the senior managers are interested in doing it themselves?
Not looking for that actually,
Yep.
because that's the fact that they're there and willing to work with me a little bit, that's enough. And I'm not in control, nor do I want to be, of how they are going to use it themselves. Or I'm not looking for clues that they're willing to do that. I think that's part of the letting go. Yeah, it's enough. But of course, a conversation will be about, hey, if this whole trajectory will be successful,
Yes.
what difference might you notice? What would you like to notice? And over the years, you've come to trust that just by asking those questions and seeing people think about them, something will happen, but I have no idea what and when or where, which is fine. So no, it's not that I'm looking for clues that they're taking it on board or what they're going to do with it. Just the fact that we get a chance to talk in that fashion is, I found, is enough. Yeah. Because I don't know about what your experience is, but turnover in management teams can be quite high. Sometimes if you come alongside an organization for a good few years, 5 years later, there's nobody left from the original management team. And what I found fascinating that in I've been with a few organizations for a really long time now, that the new people are actually very solution focused themselves after a good, because something in the culture changes, something in the hiring and something in the way the teams operate, and it almost they become SF by osmosis, as it were. They don't really know even what it's called or where it's originally come from. But when you talk to them, hey, it's there. Isn't that fascinating? There's this one local government that I've been working with for 13 years now. In the beginning, I would do trainings with all the new staff. There are about 600 staff now, with all the new staff every year. And we would do 2 day trainings about solution focus, about how they apply it. Fine. These days, a 3 hour workshop one afternoon. And they come with the most amazing questions because they're clearly SF themselves, although they've never heard of it. But somehow it's in the water.
I think that maybe that's helping me get to the essence of the question that I'm thinking about, because you'll often have the practitioners or the frontline staff, and and people say, yes, we'll do this SF training, but there's kind of there can be this leadership or management barrier where the SF practice stops at that level. And I'm curious about how you are engaging not just the middle leadership but the senior leadership level to participate, and therefore watch the outworkings over time ripple through the organization to be able to tell the story you just told. How do you do that?
Well, I guess part of what I will be talking about at the beginning of those conversations is how one of my fascinations with solution focus is that it's not just for frontline work. No, it's the whole thinking behind it is applicable to all aspects of life, but very much to leadership, to project management, to organizational change. And so I talk a little bit about that and then do exactly the same as I would do in any training group. Ask about their best hopes and pick topics from there, and it can be about how can we do more satisfying performance reviews, or how can we make these projects run more smoothly, and that's what we start talking about.
Yeah, I
Maybe
really
that,
like that, isn't it? Because
work
it's,
with what's important for them.
that's what I was just about to say. It's really, you're understanding what what their hopes are, what they actually want.
And quite often, what comes out of that are special workshops on certain topics like project management or strategic planning, because they get an inkling, okay, this lady knows how to apply this thinking to that, and let's give it a go. And you take it from there. So stay very close to what's interesting for them in that moment. Yeah. And of course, I work in the field of healthcare and welfare, whether it be in local governments or organizations with frontline practitioners. They're, by nature, they are the kind of people that want to see things happening for their clients. I mean, so they're always very interesting up to the top level about success stories of the frontline work. That's what drives them. So it's not that hard. So motivated. Yeah.
No, that's great. That's great. I find I've run workshops with senior leaders and others, and strategic planning workshops and things like that. And always during or after, they go, "That was nothing like we thought it would be like." And that's that sort of comment. But I'm always interested in the beginnings of those conversations as well. So thank you. Be curious about what's important to them and stay close to that, I think is super important.
I think for me, one of the most important developments in what I learned about solution focus is this best hopes, desired outcome start. So that just works in any context. Because you're immediately so close to what drives people, what is occupying their mind and what's important to them. And yeah, so no matter what context, I find that if you can find a way to start with that's you're off.
Yeah, excellent. I've got another quote here. Do you mind if I read you
Oh,
a quote?
sure. Surprise me with what I've said.
Well, it starts with listening differently with different conversations, and that is the power. If you know what you would like the change to deliver and how you are going to notice it, things in life and work run just a little more smoothly. I've been having lots of conversations lately and been running training about listening. It starts with listening differently, and I'd love to get your perspective on that.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm going to quote one of my dear friends and colleagues, a Dutch, he was a family practitioner originally, Rob Paludanus. He says, listen with your ears, not with your head. And I love that one, and it always sparks lovely conversations when you talk about that. Like, try and listen to what is actually being said without interpreting, without letting it go through your head. And that will lead to being genuinely interested. I'm not too fond of the word curious. That has a connotation, but be really interested in maybe in a way that, okay, I want to learn from you. I know there's wisdom behind that, and let me learn from you. And if you ask questions from that stance, that's different listening. It's all that is important, I think, in human interaction is that you feel heard, you feel seen, you feel being taken seriously. And what better way than to ask really interested questions, no matter what the questions are. Yeah. It's that stance. So listen with your ears, not with your head. That's one that's always
I
stuck
love
with me, and I like to use that.
it. I love it.
Yeah.
If you left this conversation and you went to wherever you're going next, and you bumped into your neighbor and your neighbor said, "What's this solution focused stuff that you do?" How would you describe explain it to them?
You know, after 16, 17 years of working with this, that I fi still find that one of the toughest questions to answer. I think my answer varies from the context I'm in a little bit, but to a neighbor, I might say something about It's about having not better, but nicer, more fruitful conversations to get to where you want to go, maybe quicker, but at least in a more satisfactory way. Yeah, that would might be one of the shortest ones I've come up with so far. So
That's
thank you
great.
for the question, Jason.
I love it.
Is it's a hard yeah, it's a hard thing to quantify, isn't it? One of the things that we really wanted with the podcast was that people who listen to it could learn something they could then go away and try experiment with in their own work, in their own lives. What could you teach us and our listeners as, something that we could go away and try?
I heard you ask this question to other people, so it made me think. Something that is not 100% from the SF world, but that we have incorporated in our trainings and teachings for years now, is Nancy Klein's idea of asking an opening question in meetings. I don't know if you're familiar with her work, Time to Think and More Time to Think, or her books. They're amazing. And that is, we start every meeting, or I suggest to people to start every meeting with a question about that you ask of everyone there, that is about something that is true, that has happened to them personally, or that they did personally, and that is in a positive direction. And it can be all kinds of questions. It can be a question like, what's the nicest compliment a client or a coworker gave you this past week? And then everybody takes a turn thinking about that and answering that question. Or the holidays are coming up. What do you already know that you will be doing in these holidays that will make your start to the new season just that bit better? Questions like that, that are about your own actions in a positive light. The effects are amazing. Nancy Klein describes how it shortens meetings, how it makes them more effective, but I've seen that in real life so many times. It works. And teams that have adopted that tradition, they really find it works too. I'll never forget the first team that I encountered that did this. I was new to that team, and they said that they did that, and okay, fine. And the first few times you think, oh, this is interesting. But later on, I found that before going in, I would start thinking, hey, what might today's question be? And what might I answer? So it does something to your mindset even before the upcoming meeting. And that has an effect. And in SF, there's a lot of talk about pre-session change and things like that. This works that way too. And then when a team does it for a while, people will come up with questions themselves. You don't have, as the meeting leader, to come up with it. And you say, who has an opening question for today? And then 9 out of 10 times, somebody, yeah, I thought of one on my way over. And then you know when it had that effect. It's very effective. So yeah, that's the one I'd like to tell you about.
Yeah, that's really great. So I kind of accidentally have been doing this, even though I didn't necessarily know that it had a particular name. It started out actually when I was leading a team, and we would do a morning meeting, and I just I'd learned and took some ideas from different places, and so we would have an opening question, something you're grateful for, maybe something you're proud of, and
Stuff
things
like
like
that.
that, and yeah, and so I did it because I'd noticed the shift in the kind of mindset of the people in the room. And I did it recently with a workshop and asked a question about what's a small achievement that you're really proud of, and got them to share that
Beautiful.
with a group. And yeah, other questions like, why is it that you do what you do? Like, why are you here in this role? And when we chatted with Andrew Gibson on the podcast, he talked about it as well, about introducing people to each other anew. So he was talking about Teams that think they know each other very well, and they start to hear about, people's motives and their values and why they're here. Anyway, I love that idea. And it's something that I've been using and totally agree. I think it's a really great way
It has, isn't it?
to start things off in a direction or in a momentum that carries on for the workshop. And so it's really cool. Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. And it really does shorten the meetings. I hear that back from teams that have started using it, and yeah, they feel more uplifted. It's so different from what is still, I have to say, common practice in many of the fields that I work in. It's like, oh, how are you today? What's your mood? And that can go in any direction. And then you're 20, 25 minutes along, and people have vented about everything that went wrong. Well, we all know the effect of that, don't we? So yeah, that's still common practice in a lot of places. So any chance to flip that around a bit, I'm happy.
So when you do this, and I'm curious about the process, and I'll tell you why in a second. Are there any people just go around and share that? Are there any follow-up questions, or are there do people ask questions of others, or does that happen after the meeting?
No, that's the idea is just to each and everyone answer it for themselves, and because it needs to be short. Hey, especially in a top level meeting, people are there to get business done. They don't want to spend 20, 25 minutes doing something like that. But once they encounter it, it's effective. They're happy to spend 5 or 10 minutes doing it. So no, it's quick fire. I've learned over the years not to go the rounds, as it were, but just to pop the question and look around, and there's always somebody who will answer first, and then there's somebody else. And even if you don't answer, it's fine. We know by these days that even asking a question, you don't require an answer for it to have an effect. So, and I just totally leave it up to the people there who wants to give an answer and who goes first. And so yeah, that's what I do these days.
The reason I asked is because one of my previous careers, I was coordinating a national well-being in schools program, and it was fully funded, so schools got free professional learning. The well-being guy would come in, and usually someone who was leading the meeting had read one of the resources, and they'd say, just share a highlight from the week. And everyone would go around and they'd share a highlight. But then it kind of felt like, okay, now let's get on to the real agenda. And there was this abrupt, and it was that I got that sense that it was like, oh, well, the well-being guy's here, so we better ask a question like that. And now we'll get. So I started to just add, and what difference did that make? Just a solution for, so that it'd be something like, just tell me about something that's made you smile in a good way in the last week, and what difference did that make? And that added little bit seemed to create a longer ripple, I think, through the meeting.
Oh yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, I can see why in certain contexts that would be very useful. Yeah, absolutely. And when I do it, like with people who are in leadership positions or who chair meetings regularly, I'll do something similar and have again this meta moment where, okay, what actually happened? What was the effect? And how might this be useful for you? But when it's just any group, I will just leave it there. And sometimes there's somebody who will ask a question about it. Hey, what is this we just did? Or why did you do that? And then that's a good opportunity to talk about it. So yeah, I guess it depends.
I think that's right. I think these all of
Interesting.
our questions are an it depends
Yeah, true.
and I love just sort of
Contextual always.
and fleshing it out a little bit is always interesting, because we walk into these situations as solution-focused practitioners, and we use the skills and the tools and the listening to the approach, but it's never the same. Every
No.
case is different, and we pull out little bits at different points based on answers that help
Absolutely.
us or help our clients navigate the situations that they're in. And I think that's awesome. Awesome.
It's one of the most fascinating things about this approach, isn't it? That it's never the same. It's the longest job I've ever held, I always say.
I'm probably a lot earlier along in the journey, and interested in this is one of the advantages of, hosting people on podcasts. You get to ask them the questions that you're interested in. What advice would you have for someone like me who's, training, facilitating is doing that for business? What advice do you think is kind of, important things to keep in mind?
What I've always found very helpful and still look for these days is try and have a group of people, preferably around you, that you can talk about this at length. Like you and Jason are doing, like this podcast. I'm sure you have lots of talks about what you want to do. So you have this reflection time with people who are like-minded and who can ask you the questions that you will immediately recognize but feel the effect on yourself, and that will keep you further. One thing that I've been doing a lot of is what we call intervision. Where you come together with a group of people and you can all bring something to the table that you'd like a little help on or that you're stuck with. And we approach that in a solution-focused way so that it comes from all directions. You get to be asked questions if you bring something to the table, or you can ask other people. And that's kind of a practice environment, but at the same time very practical in that it helps you along in your day-to-day work. And facilitation is one thing that's great, but being part of one is very important for me, for my own personal development. And it's something that I would always recommend, especially if you're self-employed and you have your own business, try and find a group of like-minded people that you can have good talks with. Yeah, that keeps it
Yeah.
going. Yeah, keeps
Thank
it
you.
re keeps it fresh and renewing. Yeah.
When we interviewed Anton, he mentioned intervision as well, and I've gone and done some searches and things on it because it's not mentioned very much in Australia. Are there protocols to that? Is this a little bit like solution-focused reflective teams? Is it? Tell us some more about it. I'd love to know more.
I've learned after I dove into this that intervision is a term that appears to be only used in Dutch and German speaking countries. It's very interesting. I had not known this because I've come across the term all my professional life because it's there. It was mainly something done again in the field of social work. It's spreading over the last 15, 20 years, but as a way of helping each other. But the traditional forms were always very problem focused. There were in-depth analyses of what held you back or why you were struggling with these kinds of issues. And I remember in this social work organization that I was talking about when I came across solution focus, one day my team came to me and said, could you maybe provide us with an outside intervision leader? Because we really feel the need for it, and we haven't done this for a while. And I said, I didn't know too much about it at the time. So yeah, tell me more. And if you think this is useful, of course, I'll facilitate it. And I said, can I come too? No. This needs to be done within colleagues that trust each other and well known, and everything that happens there stays there. And so, okay, fine, go ahead if you think it's useful. I'd like to know if it's helpful, and then I can find some more funding for next year, something like that. And then it started to happen every 6 weeks, and they locked themselves up for a whole afternoon. And I would see people coming out of there really with not very happy faces. Sometimes there had been tears, I could tell. I thought, ooh, this is serious business. It didn't seem very uplifting, but no, this is really helpful and really good to discover what's bugging you. Okay. Anyway, I left that organization starting my own business because I wanted to take this solution-focused thing further. And then I encountered a team locally that were all enthusiasts, and they worked that way. They were mostly family practitioners and youth workers and trainers. And I was invited to come along, and they met weekly, and they said, "Yes, we have weekly intervision meetings." I thought, "Oh my goodness, is this what I'm looking for? What have I got myself into?" But willing to try anything, and okay, I'll come along. It was a trial period, and I thought, "Oh, we'll see where this goes." Turned out that they did it in a solution-focused way, starting with these opening questions. And then doing things like the reflecting team, but lots of variations on that. And brilliant. It was the moment in the week that we all made sure we were there. Be even though we couldn't earn any money that day, because self-employed, but still, we always made sure we were there because we needed it to learn, to develop, to get further with things that you did feel stuck with. Brilliant. And we've been spreading it from that team ever since, as much as we could. And I think back in 2017 or something, I got the idea, hey, you don't just need to have a group of like-minded people that know each other well. The format, because they're solution focused, you could do this with people that don't even know each other, that I've never met before. And so started experimenting with that. Every first Friday of the month, you're welcome in our office, and we have these. Still do it to this day. It's been online ever since COVID. And the nice thing is that people from all over can take part and never met. They're from different fields, they have different roles. But if you talk about out of the box thinking, that's what you get. Because if someone listens to you who is not familiar with your field, they can ask really open-minded questions and come up with ideas even that are from very different angles. And people still love doing it. So, and during that time, I started looking into it, and because I wanted to talk about it at conferences in English. And then I discovered that the term wasn't known at all in the English speaking language. Yeah, peer group supervision. But I like the word intervision because it's really between people and not somebody there who's maybe the knowledgeable guy or woman telling you in the end, okay, I think you should do this or that. Because that's what I associate with supervision in our country, at least. So yeah, I've stuck with the word intervision and try to talk about it as much as I can because it's a way of maintaining this SF culture in an organization and really learn from each other, get to know where your colleagues' strengths are so that outside of that those 2 hours you can go, hey, you talked about this and that, can you tell me more? Or I have a client that I need you to look at. And so yeah, it's a great concept.
So is there anything written in English on it? Because I couldn't find much when I went searching. I'm just curious, you know, we might attach a pay in English
I'm still writing that book. It's not coming along very much because I'm too
right.
busy. There is one chapter in a book by the SFU. I've been doing this for Elliot Connie's SFU for years now. Every month we have a group, and there's a group of there's a book come out last year with practices, and one chapter I wrote about this intervention thing. So there is that. But yeah. The real book is it's or you can't see my study door, but there's post-its all over of the structure, and I've written quite a bit, but it's not finished yet. Yeah, because I
Very
think
good.
it would be helpful if more the aim of my writing is now, okay, how can I find the confidence to lead these interventions? Because I think that's the way we could spread it more. So that's the angle that I'm trying to find. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really interested in it. I think it's could be incredibly helpful in a whole range of areas. Now, when you say lead, find the confidence to lead it, are you talking about helping other people to lead these sorts of sessions?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping that the book might bring, because I want it to spread. It's okay. We have quite a few people in the Netherlands that are very good facilitators of these intervision meetings. And after people have been there for a while and they feel confident in the solution focused approach, they can do it themselves. But they always come back with a lot of questions. Hey, I saw you doing this. What's behind it? And how do I deal with? For one thing can be you have a group before you and nobody has a question because they all come straight out of their work. They're busy. What do you do then? And just little hints and ideas for that. Or when somebody comes with a problem that others relate to and find it hard to detach themselves from their own struggles. How do you facilitate in such a way that the environment stays safe and that the focus is still on the person bringing the questions, but how do you care for all the others at the same time? There's a lot of teaching, training, leadership skills involved in doing it. It's great fun, but
That's fantastic. So if we were to find out more about, what you're up to and what you're writing, where would or what should we direct people to, listeners, to go find out? Is there anything you've written, or I know you've also been on a couple of other podcasts. We'll probably link those.
Oh, that's a good, nice idea. That's always a problem when you work in a different language, isn't it? It's because I have written quite a few things. Let's see what I've got here. This, for one, is a tool that we wrote about intervision, where we've written out lots of the format, but it's in Dutch,
Yeah, I saw
so
that. I was
not
zooming
very
in on
helpful.
pictures around, like I saw pictures. I'm like, what's that saying?
So that's not very helpful, but I'm hoping to finish this book at some point and get that out. There's some stuff on the SFIO website, a video about this project with the local council that I've been with for 12, 13 years, and there's things like that. But yeah,
Yeah, that definitely
just
sounds like an interesting one. We'll have to link that one.
yeah. Okay, I'll
Yeah.
send you some info.
Pat, if you could say one thing to our listeners, the podcast is Towards Solutions. Based on your experience with us today, what would you say to our listeners?
It's been a joy talking to you because you really ask the interested questions, and you're great listeners. What I say? Well, maybe. Don't worry too much about is this truly SF or what is it that I'm doing. Just go for it. Be good listeners and be interested in what people have to say, and then you're off. And yes, there is so much to learn about this whole field, but you don't have to be an expert before you can start. I love it when people have their first training. I had the other day somebody who said, "Oh, I'm very sorry, but at 3 o'clock I have to leave for a bit because there's this meeting that I could not reschedule." I said, "Sure, whatever needs to be." And this guy came back after a little over an hour, beaming. I said, "Okay, looks like you have a story. Tell us." So we made room. He said, "This was amazing. I didn't tell you what the meeting was, but it was with a very difficult thing that, and we had almost been at odds the whole time. And what I did is said, right, I'll just go for it." We sat down and said, "Before we start, can I ask you something?" And yeah, sure, said the other person. He said, "If we have a successful meeting today, what are you really hoping to get out of it?" And he said, "It totally changed the dynamic."
So
For the
cool.
first time, we talked person to person, and he could listen to what I had to say, and I could hear what he had to say. He said, sold.
Wonderful.
So yeah, it's just, if you hear anything that is worth trying out, go for it and see where it takes you.
Yeah.
That.
Start. Yeah, just start. I love it. I love it.
Okay.
Thank you so
Good.
much for your time. Thank you for your wisdom.
Thank you for having me. It's been brilliant.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this to go up and our listeners just try something. Just start. Thank you.
No,
Thank
you're
you.
welcome. It was
It's been
lovely talking to
lovely
you, even if
conversation.
it's bright and early in the morning here.
Yeah, of course it is. Thank you for
You
that.
got me going for the day.
I love it.
Wonderful.
It's one of the things, isn't it? I feel like, talking solution focus and doing solution focus, it's energizing, isn't it? Like it's fun.
It is.
It's one of the, yeah. So, yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us on the Towards Solutions podcast. We hope today's insights inspire you to apply solution focused in your own life and projects. Whether you're applying these strategies in your personal life, professional practice, or community projects, we're excited to see the impact you create.
If you found this episode useful, please leave us a review and share it with others who might benefit from our discussions. Your support really helps us to reach more people and continue to bring you quality content. Stay tuned for more enlightening conversations, subscribe now, and let's continue this journey towards solutions together.